It's nice to be with you today. We have visitors and we're glad to see you. Hope that you feel comfortable as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and explore the things that are said. Should you have some question, we're open to that. If you'll let us know as you leave, we'd be happy to talk with you about anything that might be on your mind with reference to this service or to the things that are done or said herein. This morning our approach is to pick up the Bible and explore some open things of the Bible. We're looking for open things in the pages of the Bible, the Word of God. If you listen to our reading, you may have come across something that was open. From the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, the setting is one of the annual feast days of the Jews. You may remember back in Deuteronomy 16 how three times in a year all the males were required by God to come to the place where the Lord would choose to put his name. That was Jerusalem. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's the Passover, and the day of Pentecost that came 50 days after Passover. And then there was the Feast of Trumpets. We're talking about in Nehemiah chapter 8 when you have the time that commemorated the dwelling in booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, tents. In Nehemiah 8, when there was a public reading of the law, the Bible says all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they requested Ezra bring the book. What book was that? The book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. They had made a pulpit of wood for that purpose, according to verse 4. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 8 and verse 5 that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And so on this occasion, we find where God's book was opened. I'm afraid that in too many pulpits across this land, the Bible is not opened and read from and taught from like it could and should be. How about in your home? Is the Bible an open book? Do you open its pages to read and to study, to learn? We need to be doing that. One of these days, there's coming a time when this book will be opened at the judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, John said in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Since this book will be opened at the judgment, and we're going to be judged according to its teachings, then this book needs to be opened in our lives that we might know what it teaches and bring our lives into harmony with it. But not only do I read of an open book, I read in the book of Deuteronomy about one's hand being opened. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15 for just a moment. In verse 7, the Lord said, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. This shows concern for brethren back in ancient times, and blessing was connected with that in verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee. In verse 11, he said, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. God's always made provisions for the poor among his people, and they were to furnish him liberally, according to verse 14. Surely brethren in the first century recognized that principle when in Acts chapter 2, brethren in need were provided for. The Bible talks about in verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. They had open hands and open hearts, didn't they? In Acts chapter 4, again, verse 34 teaches, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as much as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. When those kind of situations arise, may our hands be open, as the Bible teaches. But furthermore, as I explored open things in the Bible, again in the book of Deuteronomy, I find mention made in chapter 28 of some treasure blessings being open. Deuteronomy 28 is in the context of blessings for obedience. Notice the Lord said in Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1, "If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will," all of these will statements hinge on if. If he said you will, then I will. And in verse 2, "all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." And then the word blessed occurs a good number of times after that. And as you drop down to verse 12, he said, "the Lord shall open." What will the Lord open if you hearken diligently to his voice? He said, "the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand." Notice these blessings are connected with obedience as opposed to disobedience. When in verse 15 he said, "it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." You see, God will open the treasure blessings for those who obey, but those are closed off to those who do not obey. And so it behooves us to hearken diligently to his voice, to observe to do all his commandments which he commands us. But then again, I thought about the fact that oftentimes we read of eyes open in the scriptures. Numerous times this is used in the context of the Lord's eyes. God is said to have eyes. Did you know that? Like in the book of Genesis 6, when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Petition was made for the eyes of the Lord to be opened on various occasions. Like when Solomon prayed at the temple dedication. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and in verse 29, when he prayed, he said that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. The eyes of the Lord being open has to do with his hearing and hearkening unto prayers of his people. Again, down in verse 52, he went on to say that thine eyes may be open under the supplication of thy servant and under the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them and all that they call for unto thee. So when you think about the Lord's eyes being open unto supplication, it has to do with his hearing our prayers. Over in the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 19, when the Lord's people faced the threat of Assyria, and you have Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, that has invaded the land. 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and he said, "Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God." As a result of Hezekiah, the good king of Judah, praying to the Lord and petitioning him to open his eyes and see, it came to pass that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. Imagine what a slaughter in 2 Kings 19:35. What a sight to see answer to the Lord's petition. Surely his eyes were open on that occasion. And then in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 6, when Nehemiah asked about the condition of his people back home, in great affliction, reproach, wall of Jerusalem broken down, gates burned with fire, he sat down, wept, mourned, fasted, and prayed. And here's what he said in his prayer, among other things. Verse 6, Nehemiah 1:6. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now. Might be a good way for us to petition the Lord when we pray, like other men of God have prayed down through the ages, that his eyes would be open day and night. And in this, he said, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. This is a prayer in which you find confession of sin being made. And again, in the prophetic book of Daniel, in chapter 9, verse 18, Daniel prays to God, and it's a prayer of confession. Daniel 9:4, he said, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. Verse 8, we have sinned. Verse 9, we have rebelled. Yea, all Israel have transgressed. Verse 11. Again, verse 11, we have sinned against him. Verse 14, we obeyed not his voice. Verse 15, we have sinned. Time and again. Verse 20, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. And his petition was, Daniel 9:18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy holy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. What a prayer. And so you can appreciate occasions when the Lord's eyes are opened to the prayers of his people. But there's another sense in which I read of opened eyes, and that is when Jesus would open the eyes of the blind. That would happen two ways. That happened physically. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that he would do just that. In chapter 35 and verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. He had but to say the word, and the eyes of the blind were opened. Like in Matthew chapter 9, when in verse 27, two men followed Jesus, saying as they cried, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. That's Matthew 9, 27 through 30. Who can forget in John chapter 9 how he opened the eyes of the man that was born blind? And numerous times, the blind man talks about his eyes being open. Jesus had power to do that, and it shows that he is indeed the Son of God, according to John 20:30 and 31. But don't overlook the fact that through him, spiritually, eyes are opened. There are a lot of people who are in blindness today, don't even know it, blind spiritually. And their eyes need to be opened. They need to see the light. Like Isaiah spoke of in chapter 42 and verse 7, when he talked about how the Lord would come as a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. There are those who are imprisoned by the darkness. They're in the darkness of error, the darkness of sin. And that's why Jesus came. In fact, he appeared to the Saul of Tarsus in Acts 26. To send him to the Gentiles, verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. It's not that physically they couldn't see, that their eyes were closed, but spiritually they needed to receive the forgiveness of their sins, to be turned from the power of Satan unto God, that they could obtain an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in Jesus. That's what it means to have your eyes open spiritually. What a benefit and a value that is. But then you and I need to have our eyes open, just like the psalmist. We ought to be able to say in Psalm 119 and verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That'd be a good petition when we pick up this book and open it and begin to read. "Open my eyes. Help me to see. Help me to know. Help me to learn what you'd have me to do. And behold wondrous things." And there are a lot of wondrous things in this book, if we'll take the time to open it and we'll ask the Lord to open our eyes as we read it, that we might be able to see it. But then again, open things includes open ears. In Psalm 34, notice these words from David. In Psalm 34 and in verse 15, he said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are what? Open unto their cry." He talked about his eyes. We've already talked about his eyes being open. But here he talks about his ears are open. The Lord's ears being open to who? The righteous, unto their cry. You know, his ears aren't open to everybody, according to that passage. But his ears are open unto the cry of the righteous. Reminding me of what Peter said about that in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. When he said, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Two groups of people, the righteous versus them that do evil. What about them that do evil? The face of the Lord is against them. What about the righteous? His eyes are over them, and his ears are open unto their prayer. What a blessing to know that if you're righteous, that God's ears are open, and to be able to pray to him in confidence that he has an open ear. He has a listening ear, and he'll be attentive to our cry. Furthermore, when I contemplate open things in the Bible, I began to entertain the idea of an open mouth. Like in the book of Ezekiel chapter 2, when in verse 8, God called Ezekiel to be a prophet and commissioned him to prophesy to the nation of Israel. He said, "Son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house." That's the children of Israel. They were rebellious people. He said, "Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of the book was therein, and he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll." To eat that roll was to eat the Lord's word. Our mouth needs to be open in that way, to eat the milk and the meat. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, 2, Peter said, "As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And in Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, he talked about those who are unskillful because they haven't exercised themselves in such a way. They're on the milk, and he said, not the meat. My mouth needs to be open, so that I can receive the milk and the meat of God's word. Just like a little baby's mouth is open for that bottle to receive that nourishment, my mouth needs to be open. There's another sense, though, in which this book talks about a mouth being open. In Acts chapter 8, we read of Philip the evangelist being directed to the Ethiopian eunuch. And in verse 35, the Bible says, Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We need more mouths open today to preach Jesus, just like Philip did with the Ethiopian. It was impressed upon me early that when you begin to preach the gospel, you need to open your mouth. I don't want to talk through your teeth. A lot of preachers and Bible class teachers don't open their mouth. It's difficult to understand when you do that, isn't it? And so you need to open your mouth. So Somebody said you need to open your mouth so those O's can roll out. But you never will teach anybody the gospel if you don't open your mouth. Philip opened his mouth. And what came out of his mouth when he opened it? Scripture. He began the same scripture. What scripture was that? He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53 about the lamb led to the slaughter. And he preached unto him Jesus. Is your mouth open in that way? To preach to somebody Jesus? So that they can, like this man, go on their way rejoicing. What a good story. When he was called to the Ethiopian, opened his mouth, began with scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Good comparison is in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was sent to Cornelius. And he was there to hear words that were appointed for him. He said, send for Peter, who shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And in Acts 10:34, when Peter got there, the Bible says, Peter opened his mouth and said, what do you say? Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Had Peter not gone and opened his mouth, he never would have heard those words that were vital to his soul's salvation. And so you and I need to open our mouths and let people know what the Bible teaches. I like the desire of Paul when he wrote the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians 6:19, he said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth. Open that how, Paul? Boldly. To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's prayer was that he'd open his mouth and do that boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's like when Paul said in chapter 3 of that letter, in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. That's something that in other ages was not made known, but now it's been revealed. It was revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit. And he wanted an open mouth to be able to make known the gospel to folks. How that they could become partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Ephesians 3 and in verse 6. And so you and I would do well to make application of that. To have an open mouth to share with people the benefits and the blessings of the gospel. But again, when you explore some things open in this book, how about some windows being open? You remember the windows of Daniel chapter 6? When prayer was prohibited, it was a crime to pray to God. And Daniel knew that, and yet the Bible says in Daniel 6:10, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. If you'd been Daniel, would your windows have been open? Or would you have closed your windows at that time? Closed windows in that context would have been a time of not praying. You know, the New Testament teaches us, pray without ceasing, right? There's no finer example of that than the custom of Daniel. When he was found praying, and I just wonder if you and I would have been found with our windows open and found praying and making supplication before God. But also, when I think about open windows, I think about a time in the day of Malachi in chapter 3 when the Lord's people were charged with robbing God. The question was asked, will a man rob God? Will he? The Lord said, ye have robbed me. The Lord accused his people of having robbed him. They said, wherein have we robbed thee? They didn't know they were guilty of such. And he answered, in tithes and offerings. You see, they hadn't been giving as God had called upon them to do. And as a result, he said, you're cursed with a curse. You know, it's more blessed to give, right? And so what's the opposite of that? They incurred upon themselves a curse by not giving as God intended. He said, even this whole nation, the whole nation of Israel, was charged with having robbed God. And he puts before them a challenge in verse 10. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. The Lord challenges them to test him. You prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open what? You the windows of heaven. Do you know heaven has windows? He said, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What's the principle? You can't outgive God. When they would give as God intended, bring the tithes into his house, bring the offerings. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And the blessing would be so abundant, there would not be room enough to receive it. That's like the principle, Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom. So my windows need to be open to pray to God, and by giving as God has intended it. And he calls upon us to do that in so many ways. One way we do that is by every man giving in 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7 as he purposeth in his heart. And think about his windows being open and how that God blesses us when we do just that. But one more. How about an open door? Open door often is found in this book. I think about Job's door, first of all, in that setting, in Job 31. Notice he said in verse 32, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If you'd been Job, would your doors have been open to the traveler, or would he have been lodging in the street? That's an expression of hospitality, isn't it? When his doors are opened to the traveler. Did you know the Lord opens doors? Often in the New Testament, men gave credit to the Lord for having opened some doors. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, Paul said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. That's an opportunity. When a door is opened by the Lord, it expresses an opportunity that's been made available. And whenever the Lord opens a great door, whenever there's a great opportunity for the gospel, they're going to be adversaries. He said, there are many adversaries. They're going to be enemies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. The Lord presented Paul with the opportunity to preach the gospel in that area. And in the book of Revelation chapter 3, when you read of those letters that were addressed to the seven churches of Asia, to the church in Philadelphia, the Lord said in Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee what? An open door. No man can shut it. The Lord set before them an open door. He presented them with an opportunity. And in that setting, I also read of a door of faith. That's the opportunity that was extended for folks to hear the gospel and believe. Like Acts 14:27, when Paul returned from his preaching work, the church was gathered together, the church at Antioch, and the Bible says they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That was the opportunity opened for them to be able to hear the gospel and believe it. That door was first opened in Acts 10 when the Lord sent Peter to the Gentiles, to Cornelius. And us being Gentiles today, aren't you glad the door has been opened so that you and I can hear, believe, and obey and thus be saved? Romans 10:13-17. As the Bible talks about the door of faith being opened, it also speaks of the door of utterance in Paul's letter to the Colossians. In chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He was asking brethren to pray for him, that the Lord would open a door of opportunity for him to preach, a door of opportunity for him to speak the mystery of Christ, that is, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul would ask that of his brethren in Colossae, we'd ask that of our brethren today, to pray that God would open a door, an opportunity for us to speak the gospel so that folks could have an opportunity to hear and to believe it. Open a door for me to have a conversation like Philip did with the eunuch. Open a door for me to have a conversation with Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things that were spoken by Paul and those that were with him. And so that represents the opportunity for folks to hear the gospel and to be saved. But also I read of a door that is open, a door of opportunity for us to make ourselves ready for Christ's second coming. This door is spoken of in Matthew chapter 25, when we have the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And the foolish that did not have enough oil in their lamps and went to buy when the bridegroom came. The Bible says that the door was shut. And the other virgins came saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." The message is, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Take time to read that story in its entirety, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. There is a door of opportunity for us to ready ourselves for Christ's coming. We don't know when He's coming. And so we must constantly be ready for that, prepared for that. But as sure as He's coming, there's going to be a time when that door is shut. There is no opportunity after that to make preparation. It's too late. And so we never know at what hour that door will be shut. And so take advantage of the opportunity now while it exists to ready yourself for Christ coming. And He will come as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10. And then the final door that the Bible talks about being open, and it's up to you whether this door is open or not, is the door of your heart. In Revelation 3, I read of this door in verse 20, when the Lord said, "I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." It's been suggested that this door has but one knob, and the knob is on the inside. It's up to me to open the door of my heart. You can't open that for me, and I can't open that for you. But I must open the door of my heart to the Lord. Sometimes we sing a song about there's a stranger at the door, and the need to hear His voice and let Him in. Jesus wants to come into your heart. He wants a place in your life. Will you open the door of your heart to Him today to accept His invitation, come to Him, to believe on Him, put your faith and trust in Jesus, be moved to repent of your sins, to make the changes that you need to make in your life, to bring your life into harmony with the Word of God? That starts with an open book and a desire that the Lord would open your eyes to cause you to see and to understand His will and be determined to obey it. Would you confess Him before men, that He will confess you before the Father, and then put Him on in baptism, being buried with Him in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4, to rise to walk in newness of life, at which point your past sins are forgiven. You receive the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And then to dedicate yourself to being faithful unto death, so that when the Lord comes, that door will be open for you to go in with the Lord, to spend all the ceaseless ages of eternity with Him, to make sure that we're not on the wrong side of that door when the door is shut. And we're knocking and we're begging and we're pleading. And He'll say, "I never knew you, depart from me." If we can assist you today in making your life right with God, won't you come now while we stand and sing this song?